the studio. Still sitting at 19 degrees, but it was a little warmer down in Huron. Maybe they'll get snow earlier than we will. Seems like it warms up, we get snow. But anyway, joining me is Garrett Schaefer, who is with the Extension Service at Aberdeen office. He's the Extension Weeds and Weeds Field Specialist up in Aberdeen. And, well, Garrett, good morning.
Morning. How are you doing?
Good. Are you still dry up there?
We're dry, but frozen at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
With snow on top.
Did you get quite a bit of snow?
5 or 6 inches, probably.
Oh. So I suppose that's not too bad, I guess. Not really complaining about the snow. It's moisture.
Yeah, true. Hopefully it goes in the ground.
Well, you got something coming up soon here, the 19th Annual Precision Agriculture Conference up there. Been holding it for a long time. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So next Tuesday, February 27th, we're going to have the 19th Annual Precision Ag Conference. We've been going back and forth from here on back to here. So this year we're back in Aberdeen. It's located at the Best Western Ramcota is where we're going to have the event at. It's something that has brought in a lot of producers in the past, mainly because this is kind of the time when everybody you need to talk to and or engage with Precision Ag is going to be at this one conference.
Now, you and Laura Edwards, the state climatologist, are kind of putting this together. Let's talk about who's speaking on this. When's it start?
So we're having a handful of speakers. Jacob from RDO Equipment is going to be talking about John Deere and Blue River Technologies, which they acquired. It's precision spraying technology. Brad Carlson from University of Minnesota Extension talk about variable rate nitrogen based on what some research they did. And then we're going to have Teddy from Winfield United talking about is digital the future of ag. With over lunch, we're going to have Secretary Mike Jasper speak. And then after lunch, we're going to have myself and Laura Edwards, the state climatologist, talk about some off-target movement, especially with the new dicamba that came out last year. And is weather a big deal with all that? And then we'll have some breakout sessions this afternoon, along with like Ag Leader, 360 Yield Center, Climate Corp, Winfield United, etc. And then also we'll have a trade show with a lot of vendors at it.
Now, when's this start?
It starts at registration's 8 a.m. Tuesday, the 27th. That's next Tuesday. And you can go online on igrow.org and register for this event. It's $35 right now, but the price, it's $30, $35 at the door, $30 online at the moment.
Let's talk about Brad Carlson's talking about that variable rate of nitrogen based on what? I know we hear a lot about the variable rates, but a lot of research has been being done in precision ag. It's kind of in an early start of its infancy.
So Minnesota did some stuff based on this, and some other universities as well, but. Yeah, for SDSU, we're trying to push, you know, for that new building we're building on campus, some research being done. So it's definitely a hot topic university-wise.
Now, you said you're going to be talking a little about dicamba. It's kind of I guess, where you and Laura kind of fall in, because a lot of the dicamba movement is somewhat weather-related.
Yeah, more than you would think. Yep, so a lot of the stuff we're seeing, it's been proven through at least 1 year research so far through multiple universities in the United States that there is something happening weather-related with the new formulation of dicamba after application, no matter what, if you spray it on label or off. So even if you spray on label, there is some issues with the new formulations, because even the companies say it's low volatility, but not no volatility. So it's the level of volatility is what the question is there, and how that really happens.
Now, did they really find out what happened? I know some were saying that maybe some of the additive from the ammonium sulfate from the Roundup that was in there maybe took away some of that, made it a little more volatile, took away some of that safety gear.
So there's probably a long laundry list of what really happened. Definitely. If you put AMS with these new products, it's off-label, so it's against the law, and it's going to make it worse than probably Banvil would be that way. And glyphosate is on label, some of the labels. So if you do add glyphosate to these newer products, they have shown research-wise it is more volatile with glyphosate added in than without. So yeah, there is some questions there. I mean, tank contamination has been some issues, wrong nozzles, et cetera, being used, but still there's a main question with volatility afterwards. And there's some research at the University of Tennessee, University of Missouri, Purdue University, Nebraska some, and University of Arkansas all have proven that volatility does happen, especially the first 24 hours after application.
You know, and we've kind of known that from way back in the old old days with the Banville. With the and so as far as South Dakota, they don't have a date, but they got you can only spray during the daytime. Is that it?
Yeah. So the federal label, it's by law you can only spray these products during the day. But STSU Extension, just on date wise, we would suggest if you can not spraying these products after the last week of June and on, because that's when most issues will arise even worse. It's weather-related. Because I know University of Minnesota and also North Dakota University both suggested June 20th cutoff dates, but I think both states put it as June 30th as a cutoff date for those two states. So we would suggest something similar as those two states.
I know the old Banville used to be June 30th before you did it. And I see in Arkansas, I think they're in April now, so they can't hardly even use it unless it's kind
of basically, it's not even a post option in Arkansas.
Yeah,
because the volatility issues of the older products is.
Now, you've been doing some meetings around. What have you been hearing from the producers? Are some shying away from it, or they're still going to deal with it?
Well, it seemed like every time I asked during a private applicator training of anybody spraying it, I'd only have about two brave souls raise their hands. So I know there's more than that out there applying it. Farmer-wise, but some people are going to pay co-ops to spray it for them and just pay the extra fees along with that. But some of them are applying it as well. So the technology is definitely going to be used. So it's just making sure that we use it accurately and correctly.
Now, I had heard from some co-ops that they're putting a limit on when they're going to spray it and how late they're going to go. So that may take care of a lot of it.
Yeah, that should help.
Now, I heard some talking about more Liberty Link and less than the Extend. And have you heard that? Have they been talking
about it?
Yeah,
I've heard farmers kind of going back and forth. The people I know with resistant kochia, especially in the Aberdeen area, there are only two post options in soybeans are going to be the best options, let's say, for resistant kochia. And you have big issues would be Liberty Link, so glufosinate, or a dicamba product. Those are probably the best. Research has proven those two are probably the top of the line for post-kochia control.
We talk about some of these resistant weeds. Have we seen, are we getting a pretty good handle on it? Are we getting a better control on it overall?
They're
not.
Yeah, if the post options that we do have now help, so it definitely these new dicamba products, I did some research last summer on them in this area in some really intense resistant kochia fields, and it did work. I'd say you get 80-90% control with the new dicamba formulations on really bad kochia. Again, Liberty Link would be probably up there, close to the same level of control. But if we can't get our priest to activate because of the dry weather, post is an issue when you're relying on just a couple of chemicals, especially in soybeans.
Do we need to get back to that rotation? Make it easier?
Yeah, wheat would definitely help. In that rotation, if we get wheat in there and maybe some other options as well.
So maybe even some of this, some of these grasses coming in, grassy plants come in, at least that would give us, it may save us some in the long run when you start talking about the technologies.
Yeah, definitely. It would help, yeah. More rotation crop-wise, the better. It helps your soil, it helps weed problems, it helps disease, so it's all around a benefit, as long as you can make it work out financially.
Any other weed that we should be concerned with is Pamaranth. Is that still is that coming to our area or not?
Yeah, at the moment we haven't seen as much Palmer last year. I think we kind of got the word out strong enough that people were watching what they were doing a little more, or they're just not talking about one or the other. We only saw a few occasions of Palmer amaranth in the state last year. So it's not getting established at the moment in the state that I know of. We have seen it throughout the Missouri River Valley area being brought in there. So we don't know for sure yet what the future will hold on that weed.
We did hear about velvet leaf a long time ago. I heard some talk about it this year. Is that coming back, or are we pretty well done with that?
The southeast part of the state definitely has a lot. You'll see it occasionally this year. I saw around the state, even most of East River, in cornfields and stuff. But in general, hasn't been a massive issue.
But again, the big thing we got to get back to, and hopefully Mother Nature will let us, is getting these pre's down and getting them to work. Are some of these new pre's taking less moisture to activate?
Yeah, in general, you still need a half inch. I mean, they haven't found a pre yet that can activate with no water, so, or a tenth of an inch or something like that. Some of them, I mean, they'll suppress weeds at like a quarter inch or less, but you won't see the full activation and full benefits of them unless you get at least probably a half inch or more.
Well, we're probably, maybe I shouldn't say probably, because Mother Nature can change rapidly, but we looks like we may see a little later spring, so who knows what Mother Nature's going to do with the wet weather, but it'd be, right now we could get out there pretty easy if we didn't get any moisture now.
Yeah, looking that way for planting, that's good, but yeah, it's projecting. NOAA has forecasted, from what I've talked to the state climatologists, et cetera, and they're projecting a drier spring and summer, but we'll see.
Well, let's know. We never know. Anyway, one last thing, Garrett. What's the date and time for this annual precision farming?
Yep. So, again, date would be next Tuesday, February 27th at the Ram Coda here in Aberdeen. And registration starts at 8. The event starts at 8:30.
And they can register before for 30, but at the door it's 35?
Yep.
All right. Well, hope you have a good meeting. Hope you have good weather.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. That's right. And that's Garrett Schaefer.